Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning and welcome. We're glad that you're here. I'm Kevin. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're joining us online. We're in the fourth week of a series coming out of Easter in which we would look at the tools that are necessary for your everyday faith. Easter's a time in the church when people can easily get excited, when more people come. It's easier to invite people at that point, but it's then what? Then reality hits and it's like, okay, so what are the things that we need coming out of Easter that would help us? So to transition us this morning, as we think about this topic, this is related to this topic. I just thought maybe this would help you maybe smile, exhale a little more. This is, you know, they say that the truest things are also the funniest things and vice versa. So watch this.
I miss being young. Your 20s are great. You're down for whatever. Your friends call you. They're like, do you want to go? You're like, I'll go. You don't even know where you're going. You're like, I'll move, dude. I'll set my apartment on fire. What do you want to do? Your 30s come, and you're like, where are we going? How late are they open? Is it loud? I am going to drive separate. Your 40s, I'm not going. I'm mad that you thought I would go.
So now everybody in here that's north of 30 is like, yeah. So what happens when you get to 50? So I had an employer tell me, and he said it pretty sternly. He said, Kevin, I'm just telling you right now, you show me a man that's 50 and I will show you a lonely man. Men have no friends once they hit 50. Now, rest assured, I'm not 50, so I have lots of friends. I was just making sure y'all were still with me. But there probably is some truth in that, and he said it like, and I made up my mind that day. I was like, I'm not going to be that. But I will tell you, it's gotten harder. So here we are in this series, and we've looked at what are the tools that would help you in everyday faith. Tool number one 3 weeks ago was prayer. And we said, are you tired of praying the same boring, lame, lifeless, just God bless this food, God bless my family as they travel prayers? And we offered you a tool, and one of the tools was a prayer journal. We still have them up front if you want to take one today when you leave. The second tool that we talked about was 2 weeks ago, and that was God's Word. And so how can you ingest and invest in God's Word so that it will make a difference in your life? And we said that the more you do it, in particular, research shows 4 days or more a week makes a significant difference in a person's life. Last week, Pastor Jeanette shared, and she did a beautiful job inviting us to the place in Scripture where right before Jesus goes to the cross, he meets with his team and he says to them, I want to not just talk to you about this, but I want to show you the most important thing in all of Scripture. Maybe. It's the reason I came. I came to seek and to save the lost, and I came to serve. And so she said and made this statement, it's not our job to throw in the towel. We need to pick up a towel, and she offered towels. And we have all of those elements still up front. So today, at the end of the service, you say, well, I haven't been here for any of these. Maybe you haven't, but now you've been caught up to speed. Prayer, which probably is the toolbox, the Bible, God's holy word, and serving. And then we get to today's next tool. So in order to do that, we're going to have today a pool party. Let me get this off of here, if I can. So I brought a pool. I maybe should have brought a bigger one. I don't know. I brought my towel and my bathing suit. And I was going to wear this, but I didn't want y'all to get distracted and not to be able to focus, you know, and then, you know, be jealous for Ruth and stuff. So I didn't wear it. I'm glad y'all are laughing. But today, if you think of the church and the topic that we're going to talk about in terms of a pool party, I want you to just to stay with me. How many of you have been invited to a pool party? And you, yeah, many of us, right? Some of you already probably have pools open or you've already been in a pool. But think about this. You know the folks that have been invited to a pool party, and they come and they have their towel and they're wearing their suit. They fully intend to get in the pool. They're ready to go because it's a pool party. And then there's others who come to the pool party and they've brought their suit, but they've not decided, are they going to get in the pool? You know these folks, right? You might be one. There's other people who have said, I'll go to the pool party, but they didn't bring their suit, they didn't bring a towel, they're just going because, well, it's a pool party. And then there's those, and you may be in the room too. You were made to go to the pool party. You were made to go. And you weren't excited about it. You had no interest. We have people all over the church who are in varying degrees of, do I want to be a part of the pool party? Some want to just put their feet in the shallow end, and some want to dive off the diving board. We're all over the place with this. Now, just so we understand the idea of pool party related to church, before I get to the scripture, I want you to think about this. In 2024, 22 million people, 22 million people went to an NBA basketball game. In 2024, 18 million people went to an NFL football game. In 2024, 71 million people went to a Major League Baseball game. And in 2024, 23 million people went to an NHL game. Stay with me. That's roughly 130 million people who went to a pro sporting event last year. Do you know that essentially that same number will attend church in the U.S. this weekend? So all the stories that you've heard about people are leaving Christianity and people aren't going to church anymore and everywhere we go, things are getting worse. There's some truth in that. Don't believe all the hype about that. Don't believe that God has advocated our country and people don't still love Jesus and they're not still showing up to church, because it's a lie. 125 or 30 million people in one weekend will attend a church service. Now, they're on different degrees as to whether they're actually in the pool and they brought their bathing suit or they brought a towel or they intend to get in or they intend to just show up and sort of stand off to the side and do nothing. But almost 130 million people in one weekend will attend church. Thanks for being here, by the way. It's beautiful. Now, let's get to the scripture. Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church. Here it is. And they devoted themselves to coming together whenever it was convenient on their very busy calendars. They came together, not all together on time, but at different times. They came some early, they came some right when the service started, many came late after the service started. They came and they walked into an air-conditioned building, they found the comfortable seat. Some wished the back rows were further back, like, Pastor, could we get some seats in the parking lot because you yell too loud? They nodded to the other people in their row and they offered a smile, but they hardly looked at each other again. Instead, they fixed their eyes on a stage and they stood, and some people sang if they liked the song. And then they sat and watched and listened to someone yell for a while. I said yell. Until they stood to sing one more time, after which they peeled back some strange cellophane to uncover a small snack. As soon as they were finished eating and drinking, they got out of there as fast as they could in order to beat the traffic, because the second service has a lot more people. Then they waited to do it again the next week or whenever it worked well in their schedule, and they called it church. Ouch. That is not, by the way, who Jesus is returning for. It says in Scripture, he is coming for a spotless bride. Who is the bride? It's the church. It's the church of Christ. Yet this is how many people experience church. Now, let's read the actual Scripture. The birth of the church. Y'all aren't mad at me, are you? I've been here 8 months. Have I worn out my welcome yet? Come on now. Okay, just checking. Here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's today. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Wonder how many times that word appears in this section. Together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah, the birth of the church. Jesus has died. Jesus has been resurrected. In Acts chapter 1, he comes along and he says, hey guys, I'm leaving. And they're like, what? We thought you were setting up a kingdom here. Nope, I'm leaving. But I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And it'll be better than me because you're going to have him living inside of you at all times. You don't have to follow me around. You're going to get to be a sanctuary of my very presence. And so that happens, and then this happens. 120 people get in a room, and the church is birthed. And we're going to celebrate that in just a few weeks. Listen to what it says right before this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. What are witnesses? They tell the story. You'll be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Wait a minute. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We're already in Jerusalem, and we fear for our life because that's where you got killed. We're not crazy about Judea. And by the way, we hate Samaria because we hate Samaritans. So you know they got to be sitting there, and they got to be listening to him, and they're going, wait, you want us to stay here for a little while, and then some of us go to Judea, and then some of us go to Samaria? We do not like those folks. And then he comps it off by saying, I'm going to need you to go beyond that. Where do you want us to go? You're not even going to know. You've never been there yet. Oh, boy. They join together constantly in prayer. How about this quote by Francis Schaeffer? Our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. How are we doing with our fellowship? Pretty good if there's food offered, and if it's free, we definitely are coming. But I think it's beyond that. The word that is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is the Greek word, are you listening? Koinonia. You've probably heard this word before. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship is koinonia. What does the word mean? Here's what it means. It means communion, hang out, fellowship. It means a mutual belonging, sharing, joint participation, and it means contributing. I mean, that's what the root of this word means. That's a lot of different. We don't even have an English word that can encapsulate what koinonia is. It's all of those things. So that says what it is. Well, why is it important? It's a must. Listen to what Scripture says. Psalm 133:1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Koinonia is essential, a friend of mine said, because it fosters unity and spiritual maturity. I asked another friend, I said, why is koinonia, you know, why is it important? He said, because God commanded it. He designed koinonia. In Genesis 1, in creation, he tells us that it was not good for man to be alone, so he gives him a helpmate. God himself is in community. The enemy has many goals for you, but maybe two are above all else. To scare you, are you listening? And to isolate you. Fear and isolation. And oh, by the way, it's still the number one tactic in our world for punishment. When we can't figure out what to do with somebody, we just isolate them. And we leave them there for a while, knowing that will probably drive them crazy. Now, you're sitting here and you're going, dude, you're a preacher. You don't know what it's like to live in the real world and deal with people. And we deal with people who get on our nerves. So we just need to run to our basement and get some alone time. I get it. But I can't live there in isolation. I'm called to a fellowship and to community. Last week, I was invited to a Valley prayer breakfast. And at the Valley prayer breakfast, the picture on the screen is of two gentlemen who shared. One is Ricky Bolden. He's the African-American gentleman to the left. He played for the Washington, I want to say Redskins. Sorry, it's Commanders. See, they don't matter to me, so I forget what their name is. You sometimes have to interject these things just to keep people on their toes. He played for the Washington, what would have been the Redskins. It's now the Commanders. The other gentleman was actually a chaplain for them. And so these two were sharing, they both now work on Capitol Hill, and they were sharing about what it means to not just have a friendship, but to have genuine fellowship, and they shared in a beautiful way. But the gentleman on the left said this statement, and it was beautiful. He said, in John 13:34, it says, a new command I give you, that you love one another. Now I want you to notice the punctuation there. A new command I give you, colon, love one another, period. It's as if the rest doesn't even need to be there. But then he does add this. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then he said this. This was beautiful. It doesn't say in the scripture, this is how that you will know that you are my disciples, if you love lost people. We should love lost people. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, if you tolerate people. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, if you do good things. That's not what it says. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And I have no problem, I don't know about you, in this relationship most of the time. That's easy. Me and him go to Skyline Drive, put on some worship music. Woo, it's all good. That's easy. See? Be out in your tree stand, on the farm, at the beach. It's just you. It's just God. But then I got to come back to this, and it keeps talking about this one another stuff. I got to be with other cultures, other races, other people, other ages. And it keeps calling me to this. How are you doing with your fellowship? Because it's a tool that's crucial. And it's how the early church was birthed. From 120 to 3,000, just like that. Ecclesiastes, written by one of the wisest of all men. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who has no one to help them up. Some of you are fading. Don't fade on me. The Lego Corporation is a really popular corporation. It's not just for kids, even though most kids typically use them. In the year 2014, 11 years ago, 60 billion Lego pieces had been produced at that point. As of 2024, listen to this, 1.1 trillion Lego pieces have been produced. That's enough for every person living on the planet, which is now over 8 billion people, to have 140 or more pieces of Lego. Why are you talking about Legos? Do you know the intent of a Lego? Do you know why it was designed? It has only one purpose. It is designed to be connected to another piece. Can you imagine? A Lego. 1.1 trillion pieces, each designed for one sole purpose. Get connected to another piece. How are we doing with our fellowship and our connection to other people? Now, I have what is going to seem really strange to some of you and going to be very awkward to the introverts, but don't leave the church over this. On the screen, I have some koinonia curiosity questions, and here they are. There are four questions. So what I want you to do is, I'll read them to you real quick. Have you ever smuggled food into a movie theater? There's no judgment here today. This is Planet Fitness / church, okay? What is a restaurant you would eat at once a week for the rest of your life? If you want to go a little deeper, you can answer these two. When you were 12, what did you want to be when you grew up? If you're 12 in this room, you can answer that right now. What is one word you would use to describe Jesus? Here's what I want to do. And this is, again, going to seem really awkward. But why in the world would I preach on fellowship and not give you time to actually fellowship today? So if you're on the live stream, you're going to see these questions for the next 5 minutes, and you'll hear some music behind it. I want everybody to stand up. And there's going to be a countdown timer on the screen. You have 5 minutes. Right in the middle of the sermon, my goodness, this will be the greatest sermon ever. To go and talk to people. Now, if nobody moves in your section, it's because they don't really want you to talk to them. Just be kind and be gentle. But I want you to take 5 minutes, and I want you to go fellowship. Now, this is not the time to leave, by the way, because we're going to end in communion. All right? So I don't have bouncers at the back doors, but I just wanted to warn you, like, don't leave yet. You got 5 minutes. I'll give you a countdown. I'll tell you 2 minutes, 1 minute. Go talk to some people. Go. Ask them one of these questions. Hey, bless y'all for your patience and that crazy idea. The best one that I heard, first of all, I was wondering if any Nazarenes were going to admit they went to a movie and then actually smuggled something in there. So it was kind of funny because one gentleman, I won't say his name, said, I've always wanted to smuggle a pizza in. But I haven't figured out how to do that. So, koinonia, fellowship, it's crucial. We were not designed to live in isolation or alone. Before we do what the scripture said, which is have communion together, I want to show you, even animals get this. Even the animal kingdom understands we are hardwired for one another. Watch this.
So what's the science behind huddling? Exactly how does it work? Well, we have a thermal imaging camera trained on me to help explain exactly what's going on. Now, heat is a thermal energy that's constantly flowing around us. And as it flows, it naturally moves from hotter objects to colder objects. To show you what I mean, I'm going to fill this solitary mug in the snow with some hot chocolate. Now you can see it's hot, white or yellow in the center, but very quickly it's losing that heat to the colder air around it. But if I fill all of these mugs of chocolate huddled together, you should be able to see something very different is happening. All of the mugs are losing their heat much less quickly, particularly the one in the center. And that's because it's protected by the hot mugs around it, but also it's gaining some heat from the collective huddle that's hotter than it is. Therefore, the heat is transferring to that mug in the center. In just a few minutes, you can clearly see the difference, can't you? This cup is now completely cold, having lost all its heat to the elements, while this one is nice and cozy and warm.
To minus 40 degrees Celsius. By one, the male emperor penguins lock themselves together in a tightly packed group to keep warm and shelter from the intense winds. These huddles can contain as many as 4,000 penguins. And they are constantly moving, those on the outside push forwards to get closer to the warmth in the center of the group and away from the full force of the Antarctic storms.
I don't think you have to be able to explain thermodynamics to figure out that community fellowship is crucial. And penguins, they didn't show it in that scene, but they say sometimes it's like minus 80. And I don't know if you heard this, but they take turns on the outside, putting others in the middle. When the community of God is at its very best, we take turns. And we absorb the outside elements, and we shelter and comfort and fellowship others or with others, and we put them in the middle. Stand with me one more time. I'm going to invite you to come. We have four tables that are around the room to get the elements. This is right out of the birth of the church. There are two different things that happen. One, they talk about essentially the Last Supper, the communion, and then the other one is they break bread together. That's eating together. So we're going to actually receive this together. So come, get the elements, go back to your seat, just hang on to them. We'll receive it together, and then we'll close in a song of worship. You can move right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.